everyone. Thanks for tuning into this week's message. My name is Alessandra, and I'm part of the team here at Friends Church. Everything we do around here depends 100% on the generous donations of our local and online community. That's people just like you who believe that life is really about leaving a positive mark on our world. So if you love what Friends Church is up to, I'd like to encourage you to contribute by going to friendschurch.ca. With that, let's jump into this week's message.
Welcome to Friends Church. I don't know if you've got caught up in a little meditative trance like me. See, the task is four songs, come up, do my thing. I think I came up at the end of the first song thinking all four had already happened. I was just like out of it. And that's because I think the thoughtful lyrics and the attention to detail in their song and their music that Alessandra and Adam do, I think that just, it just makes all the pain go away. You know, just for a little bit. So welcome to Friends Church. Embrace the suck. Life sucks, right? I mean, for real, there's a lot of suck in life and we can't avoid it. The purpose of suck is growth. In the presence of suck, that's where the growth is. And it's also to acknowledge that we cannot avoid it. It's necessary for forward progress. So if you're sitting around and life is hard, life is challenging, whether it's a health matter, an employment matter, an environmental matter, the car didn't start or whatever it is, or just things are going really well and you're trying to keep up with it, Friends has some really, really cool programs in place for us. So one is tomorrow there's a women's group and it'll be in this room. The details are on the calendar events, on the app, on the website. And so for ladies, if you want to attend, it'll be in this room. An opportunity to connect and to verbalize and voice and hear and listen, to be heard, to hear others. And if there's some suck in life, hey, you know, together we can get through it. Next Sunday, following church, there's also, in this room as well, there's a new to Friends orientation. So if you've been coming for a while or you've been listening for a while, what a great opportunity to join us and figure out what Friends is all about. Because let's be honest, if you've come here for a little while and you've had other church experiences, they're not right or wrong, they're just different. Friends is different. It's the place for people who don't fit church. And it's home for so many of us. We're self-funded. These opportunities to work through the suck, whether it's new Friends orientation, or it's clean up the pathways, or it's the women's group, or whatever it might be, we're self-funded. It's your contributions. And every, whether it's a dollar or a hundred or a thousand, it doesn't matter. Your contributions make this place work. So huge, huge gratitude out to everyone who is on pre-authorized giving. I mean, just from a business perspective, it helps make the wheels run, right? We all know that. And if you've been coming for a while and you think, hey, I haven't made any contribution, no big deal, no pressure. But if you want to, what a meaningful place to give your money to, for so that people who are experiencing hard suck, I mean, Christmas is coming. We know the routine, right? We're going to hear real soon about people who are struggling to have a turkey and a present. And Friends Church hits a home run every single Christmas and helps families in need. And part of your contribution helps all of this make it happen. So from my heart to all of you, thank you very much for making Friends your home. Thanks for helping me challenge the suck a little bit better and enjoy the music to make the pain go away just a little bit. And Vince is going to bring something new for us today.
Thanks, Vince. I'm little Vince, he's big Vince. Can we just, before we get going here, we have a whole crew of Teen Switch volunteers. We have kids volunteers downstairs. We have our tech team, the band. Can we just give them another big round of applause? Man, the amount of work that everyone does to volunteer their time to just inspire you all to make the world a little bit better, right? Have a moment where the pain goes away, if I use Vince's line. If you want, so one of our house bands, Adam and Alessandra, they actually perform as a duo called Too Late to the Party. And they just released two new singles, so if you want to have Friends Church at home, anywhere you find music, you can go listen to them. So there's a little plug for our band to take Friends Church into your home or into your commute or into your run or whatever you like. It was just before COVID hit. Me and my partner, Ellie, we have this thing where every Friday we have a date night. And I plan three of them, and she plans one. She always plans really good ones. I don't know why, how we all broke this down, but she planned this one. She's like, we're going to see Mark Tewksbury. And I was like, isn't he like some famous dude or something? She's like, yeah, he's that swimmer guy. I'm like, oh, okay. So we show up at dance, whatever, this crowd. He gets up on stage, and for an hour and a half, he tells his life story. As a public speaker, it blew my mind, but it started to get me kind of obsessed with Mark Tewksbury. Because I kind of knew, you know, he's some famous guy from something Canadian, I don't know, Olympics, blah, 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 right? He's a gold medal swimmer who started here in Calgary. When I started to look him up, I went onto YouTube and I looked at one of his first races, the 1994 Barcelona World Olympics. It's the finals of the men's 100-meter backstroke. Mark's in there, like, the guy's like got lats the size of a house, right? Because he's a swimmer. He's got his Coke towel on. He's sitting there. He's got his game face on. They have to swim one to the end of the pool and back again. That's the whole race. He's lined up here. Beside him is the Americans. On this side is the Spaniards. I'm not even a sports person, and I'm already like, I can feel my like, oh. The gun, they get all lined up. Actually, I think they do it in the pool this way, right? They're all lined up. The gun goes off. They're just like gone. You just see this like mass of guys into the water. They're like doing whatever they do, and they pop out. And Mark's in like the middle of the pack. The Americans way out in front. The Spaniards way out in the front. And so you kind of have this moment where you're going like, I know how this race is going to end. He's an Olympic gold medalist. And I'm still all excited by this. They're flying down the first thing, like going like crazy. I don't know how they do it, but they're going like crazy. And Mark's got like the afterburners on. Everyone else is swimming as fast as he can, and he's starting to catch up. Pretty soon, he passes everyone. It's just the American, the Spaniard, and Mark, the Canadian. By the time they get to the wall, he's past the Spaniard. The only one left in his sights is the American. They go in and they do this funny dive where it's like backwards, upside down. I don't know what the heck they do. But they come out of the water again, and he's crap at the turn. He's now back in third again. And I'm doing like, Mark, what are you doing, buddy? Like, come on. They go flying down this thing. And again, he's just motoring. Passes the Spaniard again. You can feel yourself just like, the last 10 meters, it's him and the American head to head. I'm holding my breath. When they hit the wall for the 1994 backstroke gold medal match, Mark beats the American by 0.06 seconds. Canada wins. I don't know the guy. I saw him like at a play one time, and I'm like trying to high, like in my mind, I'm high-fiving. I'm like, yeah, Canada, you did it. Can you feel the energy of these kind of things? You know, it wouldn't be as exciting if it was just a pool and Mark and a stopwatch, right? They hit the thing and he swims to the end, and you're like, okay, and he swims to the end, and then you're like, okay, how did he do? Oh, he won. Oh, that's nice. You need the us, the Canadians, and the Americans, and, well, let's just be honest, the Americans is who we want to compete against, right? The Spaniards were like, whatever. The Americans, us against them, Canada against the States, the little guys against Goliath, and we win. So let me ask yourself, or ask you something. Where in your life do you have this kind of us and them? Right? Canadians and Americans. Any Flame fans out there? Any Oilers fans out there? Right? Us against, or us and them, right? It's not as fun if the Flames, like maybe their offensive line and their defensive line just played each other. How fun would that game be? You need the us and them. Men, women, old, young, people who like math, people who don't like math. That's definitely a thing, right? Any math fans out there? I'm pointing at one right now. how is it that our lives, that we have so many things where we have kind of an us and them? And so before you kind of get weirded out by this, I'm not going to villainize this at all. Our brains are actually designed to do this. A guy named Henry, and I'm not sure I'm going to say his name right. I don't know how to, does anyone speak Polish? Come and correct my pronunciation at the end. Henry Tagfer. In 1970s, he thought, I wonder how small of a group I need to create a feeling of us and them. How small, how minuscule. Anyone from North Calgary? Put up your hands if you don't mind. Work with me here. Anyone from South Calgary? South Calgary's beating North Calgary. Nice. Anyone not from Calgary? Oh, nice. Oh, a whole crew of you. So right ways, you see how our brains just start to do this. So let's just try something different. I'm going to draw a line right here. So Joe, you're on this side. Vince, you're on that side. This crew here and this crew here, okay? So everyone on this side, put up your hand. Woo! Nicely done. A little enthusiasm, people. Come on, you're a team. Team, there we go. This group here, everyone raise your hands. Nice, we're a team. Okay, so here's how we're going to do it. I have a coin. It took me a long time to find a coin because no one carries money anymore, but I have a coin. You guys are heads. You guys are tails. Okay, what are you guys? You guys? I'm going to flip a coin. You know how it works. Heads, you guys win. Tails, you guys win. Got it? Ready? Heads. Watch this. I literally drew a line down the middle of you, said you against you, and suddenly it feels more fun when I flip it to heads, right? That's what Henry researched. He's like, our brains are insanely good at making groups. And I just drew a line right here, right? Think about it if it's gender, age, race, skin color, sexual orientation, you name it. Draw a random line on a map someplace. Think of how quickly our brains make this sense of there's us and there's them. Mark Tewksbury, swimming for Canada against the Americans. It's fascinating, isn't it? I'm fascinated by how quickly our brains make clumps of things. And without, you can't just have like us all. It's always us and them. There's us, and then there's people who are not us. Right? There's this group, and there's this group. Again, our brains love that. Now, here's the interesting thing. Does anyone know Jordan Peterson? Bit of a kind of a maverick character. I love some of his work. He says this. He says, our brains not only create groups, but if your group can't be unique from the other group, you'll just make a smaller group. So, tall, white dudes with shaved heads. Well, I'm not the only one here. Okay, well, tall, white dudes with shaved heads who grew up in southern Manitoba. Ha-ha! I have an us and them. And if you follow the pattern down, you can get it all the way down to me. You know, the group is just me. White guys who studied engineering, finished off in religious studies, grew up in southern Manitoba, has size 12 and a half feet, like whatever, right? I will create an us and you all be them. So here's the question. If us and them isn't a problem, where is the problem? Our brains naturally create a section of like, okay, this is like us, this is not us. Where's the problem? Yeah. Let me just tell you a story. There's a group. So last year, I was flipping through the news, saw that the Edmonton Pride Festival was canceled. Now, I've been volunteering at Pride for most of a decade. I fundamentally believe that everyone should have a space where they can do, express themselves in whatever way they feel comfortable expressing themselves. I believe that groups of people who are seen as minorities should be brought out into the group so that we can all share in the joy of that community. And Pride for me is that. I will volunteer there. I will do whatever it takes to be there. I have a number of people in my family who's part of that community. So I am a big fan of pride. I put a chunk of my life into pride. And so for it to be canceled, like, who cancels pride? My first thought was, oh, some freaking religious group. I was all mad, like, freaking stupid. They're going to say, you know, started reading, oh, it's not a Christians. It's not a religious, or it's not a religious group. It's not a political group. The reason last year's Pride Festival was canceled in Edmonton was from a group within the LGBT community. Isn't that strange? You would think that us would be all of us. But even in the group of the LGBT community in Edmonton, there was an us and them within that group. And this smaller subgroup of people that identified as us and the rest of the community as them sent a list of demands to the volunteer board who organizes Pride. This is a group of people who spend a tremendous amount of their lives volunteering to make Pride Festival happen. They got a list of demands from a group within their community. Chantel, can you throw them on the screen for me? It said, the first one, and I'm going to paraphrase, to change the core of Pride from a festival to a protest. They wanted to end the parade. No more of this like walking down the street partying. Mm-mm. To change the programming of the festival to focus on this subgroup of the community and basically focus on them primarily. And to commit the majority of the funding that the Pride organization uses to run be dedicated solely to this group. How are you feeling now? Isn't it fascinating when us and them becomes us against them? There's no sense in this, the list of demands that says, what's good for the community and us? It was, what's good for us, and we don't care about you. Can you feel in your life where us and them starts to shift us against them? I think about the political debates in the States right now. You're all Americans, but it's us against them. If you don't believe me, go into Twitter for 5 seconds. Remember I talked about the social media brain the other day? Oh, it loves us against them. The crazy algorithm, I don't know what it's doing, but someone typed in, like, anytime there's an us against them, that sells attention. Let's focus there. But let's take it into our lives. Anyone, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I remember going through my divorce. The thing that I found the most difficult was when us and them, me and her, became me against her. It was no longer, how do we do this together? It was, how do I get what I need? Now, part of divorce is that needs to happen. But man, that messed with me. Think of in your relationships right now. Let's say partnerships. Are you us and them? Me and you? Are you us against them? Workers against management. Police against the black community. People who care about people, people who are capitalists. You see how us against them is just woven through so much of our society. In the end, can you throw up, Chantel, the quote from the board? After getting a list of demands from the us against them subgroup, this is what the board said. It's with a heavy heart that we inform you that the board of directors has voted to cancel the 2019 Edmonton Pride Festival. In light of the current political and social environment, it has been determined that any attempt to host a festival will not be successful. There's no us and them. It's only us against them. And we don't know a way to go forward with this. A couple years ago, and probably some of you will remember this, it was still when the Pride Festival was at Millennium Park. I'm doing stage security. And there's just like wicked music. There's a huge, it was this perfect hot day, big dance floor. And there's one dude who was just dancing his heart out. He was like late 30s, kind of clean cut hair, really attractive man. Just, I don't think I saw him take a break at all. Like literally, and it wasn't the big moves. He was just kind of like dancing like this the entire time. 4 hours straight, I sat there, just watched him dance. He didn't talk to anyone. He didn't interact with anyone. He just danced his ass off, wearing only a black Speedo and pink bunny ears. Rocking it. Now, I don't know who in this world needs to wear a black Speedo and pink bunny ears and dance for 4 hours straight. I don't really care. If that's what you need to be a fully expressed person, I want a space for you. I'm guessing that he can't wear that at work. In my brain, I see a courtroom, right? The judge, call your first witness. He pulls up his Speedos, strains his bunny ears. I call this, you know, right? You can't get away with that stuff, can you? I was going to wear a Speedo and bunny ears for y'all, but I thought I'd save you from seeing that. Ah, I can't believe it. Where is this guy going to go? There is no space for people who need to express themselves in whatever the way they need to express themselves. And this whole subgroup killed it. Killed it for him, killed it for everyone like him. You see how us against them wreck stuff? Do you see how it's doing it in your world? It sure does it in mine. Now this is Friends Church. And so I'm not going to make it easy for you. We believe in putting you in the deep end because nothing's this black and white. And I made it pretty black and white. There's one part of the story I didn't tell you guys. You know that subgroup that wrecked Pride? So my buddy in the Speedo and bunny ears can't dance? You know that group? They're people of color. People of color who said, yeah, the larger community may have had parity and may be able to express themselves, but we are still in a fight for racial equality. And we don't want a festival that just says, hey, everything's all right, when it's not all right. Can any of you feel your heart shifting a little bit? I'm going, well, wait a second. I want racial parity. I don't want any of these things. And you see what my brain just did? It created a new group called us. I just switched teams. Now it's people who care about the people of color against the people who don't care about the people of color. Do you see how we do this? Someone will say something, you're like, okay, this is the new us. This is us. Okay, so we are people who care about people of color. Great. Who are we against? Those people. Great. Now we understand. But all we've done is we just shifted teams. The core problem is still there. It's still us against them. Break it into whatever group. Right now, I'm just like thinking the teachers. Teachers against management. Like, how do we handle safety in schools and COVID and all that stuff against management who's just kind of like sending out random emails seemingly saying, hey, this is what you need to do. And you're going, what in the world? Us against them. What does our world look like if we live it all through that lens of us against them? I don't care which teams you pick, how you adjust it, how social media allows you to kind of say, oh, I'm part of this group now and we're against those people. And think about our world. Yeah. It's Twitter. If any Twitter fans out there, I apologize. I hate Twitter. To me, it's just this. Us against them in whatever groups that we do. So what do we do? How do we live differently? I've said this throughout the series. Whenever I think this is a new problem, because like how recently was social media, how all this stuff that's kind of firing it up, how recent was that? Last couple years? No. This problem's been, people have been thinking about this problem for thousands of years. One of the newer sections of the Bible, a guy named Paul wrote this. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. He's just started a new category. There's us, and then there's them, and then there's the body. You notice in us and them, there's never a we. There's never a both us and them. It's always us and them. But what about the whole? Yeah, there's people in the LGBT community in Edmonton who are color, who are people of color, who need something different. And there's Pink Bunny Ears who needs to dance. And there's everyone in between, from Joe Schmo to Susie whatever, I don't care. The whole spectrum's there. We need it all. But we rarely think in terms of the body. We all, both you and me, both us and them. He goes on to say this. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, does that make it any less a part of the body? See what he's trying to do? He's trying to wrangle us into a new category. Both us and them, the body. Social media brain doesn't like this metaphor at all. Who are we and who are we against? That's all I need to know, and I can be, you know, angry and send random angry comments. But what about both of us? What's good for me and you, for us and them? That's where this thing gets tough, doesn't it? That's the thing I think is missing. That's the thing that us against them, there's no we there. There's no both us and them. So what does this look like when we add Paul's wisdom into this? What does this look like in your life when you start seeing the world through the lens of both us and them? So let's snap back to the conversation. A subgroup of people of color in the LGBT community come to the board and say, hey, you all might be having a good time. You all might need a party. You might need to wear your Speedos and dance all day. We need something else. What would have happened instead of sending a list of demands that said, we need your funding, we want your time, we want this to change, it's all about us. What if they would have changed it and said, here's what we need? And this would have been hard, because right, even this us and them mentality, what we don't want to do is we don't want to think about what do we need. We want to think about what do I deserve? What do I demand? What is my right? But let's just soften it. What do we need? We need to be recognized. We need the community to see that our group within the community has special, let me use a different word, has unique set of needs. They might need to be heard. Let us speak to the community. Let us put some programming into this thing. One of the things that they asked for was zero police presence in the entire festival. The police weren't allowed to march. Didn't matter if they were straight or gay. Didn't matter. They weren't allowed to march or anything. Okay, if that's what you need, let's create a space where there's no police. And let's create another section where they can come and support and be a part of this thing. See, when we think about what do we need, not what do we demand, what do I deserve, what's my rights, it shifts how we have this conversation. Because now the board could have come back and said, okay, yeah, totally. Here's what some other parts of our groups need. How do we make this all work? You need less police in certain areas. This guy needs to dance in his bunny ears. This person needs to do this. This person needs to say this. This person needs to be a part of this. This person needs to do this. Okay, how do we make that all work? If your social media brain is here today, it's right now telling you, impossible. There's no way you can do this. You can't balance this. I think the social media brain of the board said that. We see no way forward. But what if we would do the hard work of figuring out what we need and what they need, and then do the work to say, how do we make as much of both of that happen today? Think about this. For those of you who are married, just in your mind, think of your partner. Do not look at them. Do not squeeze their arm. Do not kick them. What do they need? What unique thing do they need in your relationship? Have they told you? Capacity, like, you know, what is it that they need? Now, here's the other thing. What do you need? Not what do you deserve, not what do you demand, what's the, like, this must happen or I'm going to kill everybody. None of that business. What do you need? What do you want? I want to talk this way. I want to have our holidays look a little different. I want to go here. I want us to care about this part of our house. I want this. Now just widen it out. Think in terms of not just your partner, but for those of us who are single, not that I'm single. Sorry, babe. I need to not say stuff like that in public. That's what I need. For the rest of us who are in all kinds of relationships, both partnered, not partnered, as I pull my foot out of my mouth. What do you need? What do you need with your friends? What do you need at work? What do you need in our society? What do you need when you're driving down the street? What do you need? What do they need? When the police officer pulls me over for speeding, I need them to not give me a ticket. Well, that's what I want, right? Really what I need is just be respectful. Yeah, I know I broke the rules. And I get that they're just doing their job. Like, it's not like they get to choose whether they give me a ticket or not. It's, I broke the law. What happens in our world when we balance our needs and their needs and try and work them together? What happens in your family? You guys have just all spent 6 months home with the kids. It's either the kids' needs or my needs. You see how it's even theirs against mine? Mine against theirs? How do we do both? At work, both. What does our world look like if we would all do the incredibly hard work that said, what is it you need? And what is it that we need? And how do we make as much of that happen as humanly possible? That's the body metaphor from Paul. Now, if I'm reading you who are not wearing masks right, you're looking at me saying, impossible. You're thinking of all the ways that this doesn't work. You know what? It's not easy. If it was, you'd already be doing it, right? If it was really easy to do this, we'd all do it, and then that's how we would run our society. But you know what's easy? Us against them. You know what's hard? Both us and them together. Paul says we all are a body. The Edmonton Pride community is a body. This community is a body. The city's a body. Whatever you draw, whatever line you got, we're all a body. I fear that the us against them mentality is taking hold in too many places in our lives. And I think it's destroying us. I think a lot of the stuff, the pain and the suffering in our world right now, it comes from the us against them. Again, us and them, our brains do it naturally. You can't stop it. You guys against those guys. You see how as soon as I gamified it, it's so easy for your brain to slip from us and them to us against them. What if we spend this week looking at both us and them? Take the person that you just want to punch in the face right now, the person who drives you nuts, and say, okay, what is it that they want and what do I want and how do we both get it? Look at whoever you're struggling with, your kids, your partner, your colleagues, your cohort at work, at school. What do they need? What do we need? It's not going to be easy. But making the world better usually isn't. It's usually the hard work. But I think that's why you all are here at the spiritual gym. Because you know the easy path? Yeah, you're calling bullshit on that one. You know it takes a workout. It takes hard work. It takes doing more than just whatever I feel like. And so my challenge for you today is this. Find the person that drives you the most nuts. Figure out what they need. And figure out how to make you both win. Both you and me. Both us and them. Friend Church is trying to inspire you to make the world a better place. I think if we can stop the against mentality, it'll make a huge difference. Have a great week, everyone. See you next week.